Hello, hello, hello. Hello, well, here we are again.
Huh?
Old Joey the Band, here we are again. Here we are again.
Yes.
Oh, what a crowd. Oh, dear, dear.
That's very nice of you to come through.
No problem, I'm not used to this sort of business at all.
No.
Well, they're very anxious and very interested, and, you know, they hope eventually they'll be able to have a few words. And it takes a bit of practice and experience. You just can't do it straight off very rarely anyway.
Yeah, but you're
good. Thank you, Mr. Woods, Mrs. Green.
Very well indeed.
Nice to see you back again. Very nice.
When did we go out before, Prim?
Oh, a long time ago now. I can't even remember how long it was, because I've been through here a good few times, you know, at different times, spoken to various people.
Yes.
My name is Woods, too, you know.
What is it?
Yes, sir, Woods.
Oh,
yes, but you wouldn't remember. I think I spoke to you ages ago, before you had a talking machine.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes.
Well, Mr. Woods, can you tell us, you know, something about your life on the other side?
How
you passed over?
Well, how I passed over?
Yeah.
Well, I was one of those fortunate, I suppose, people who passed over in their beats of old age.
Oh, yes.
I didn't have nothing untoward happen to me, except in got a bit crotchety with age, took to my bed in a matter of a few days, I, what you say, kicked me old bucket.
Yeah.
No one need worry about that. As far as I can see, of course, I suppose it's human and natural, everyone is concerned about the circumstances of their passing over. None of us sort of like the idea of getting feeble and ill and in pain. That's all very natural. But the actual idea of leaving your lot, your world, and coming over here, it's, well, it's nothing. It's just like going to sleep and waking up into a new environment. You might say that's so much nicer and pleasanter than anything you know on earth. And all your old pals and your relations that you're fond of anywhere around and about you, all giving you a welcome. Oh, it's a very nice hour you do, I tell you. Well, thank you, let us know if
this
was great.
How did you actually find yourself there, you know?
Well, I never lost myself in the first place. I don't know about finding myself.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just know that I remember waking up in what appeared to be, well, I suppose you'd call it a nice little place in the house. Yeah, nice room, nice flowers. Oh, beautiful little house. It was the sort of place that I'd always hoped one day I might have, but I knew jolly well from my own experience on earth that I'd never have it on your side, because I never had the old wherewithal to buy it or even rent such a place. But here I found myself in a very nice, lovely little place it was. It was not too big, but just my cup of tea, just very pleasant, and there, well, there was my old lady, looking, as I remember, many years ago, looking 30 years younger. She was standing there, just looking down at me, and lying on this sort of couch arrangement. And I remember sort of waking, as it were, from sleep, and first thing I saw was this lovely room, and my dear lady standing at the bottom of the bed, as it were, on a couch rather, and one or two other people that I'd known. There was my wife's brother that died in 1914-18 war. He came over, he was torpedoed or something, if I remember, in the First World War aboard ship. And there was my mother there. First, I didn't even know it was my mother. Then people cottoned onto that at all. I recognized my wife, but I thought at the time how much younger she looked. And there was my mother, but
She knew I didn't recognise her. She looked like a young woman about 20. Mm. I'd seen a photo of her taken many years ago, but I'd never gotten down to the fact it was Nirvana, but oh, it soon dawned on me who she was. But first she looked like a beautiful, well, lady that I had some vague idea of, but never knew. There's a funny thing, you know, that when I come to think of it, all those people were there, people I'd known. What amazed me more than being there, squatted down on the side there, was my old dog Tim. You see, old Tim. Oh, a lovely old creature Tim was. He lived for about 50 years or more. He was a nice old dog. There was a cat that my wife had always been fond of, a ginger cat it was. We used to call it old Marmy. It was a marmalade cat, Marmy. My wife always called it Marmy. And she got that there, and begin to describe it. And anyway, they soon made themselves known to me, at least those that I wasn't certain as to who they were, but of course I realised now, because I think they all look so much younger than puzzled me. Oh, yes, they were there, and I had this feeling myself. I thought, well, I don't know, is this all a dream, or what is this? And I thought, well, this is something, this is. And they all said, now take it easy, don't worry, don't ask for anything. And I said, well, where am I, you know? And they said, oh, you're all right. You're with us now, and you'll be all right, and nothing to worry about. But I said, well, I can't understand this story. They says, no, you don't want to worry about it, you will. I says, but where am I? They says, oh, you're over here with us, you passed over, you know. Mm-hmm. I says, what me passed over? So they said, well, you're dead. I said, dead, I cannot be dead when I'm here. And I said, well, that's funny, of course. You're all dead, aren't you? They said, well, so I must be then. So he said, that's right, don't worry about it. Stop thinking about it. And they said, if you like, you can sit up. You don't have to lay there. I was laying there, you know. I thought, just relaxed and comfortable. And I don't know quite what I did think. I thought, well, they say I can sit up. Well, I've been lying in bed. Well, I passed the law, must be about 10 days, I suppose. The idea of getting up seemed a bit odd to me. I got from heaven and lying, and I had to stay in bed. And when I was so mad, they said I could get up. I thought, oh, Lord, get up. And I felt myself, my legs were all sort of comfortable. I didn't have that pain anymore about my legs. Anyway, I sat up and I thought, yes, this is something this is. And I stood up and I felt like a youngster again. And I don't know, but it seemed as if I'd gone slim again. And I felt so different and light and easy, you know. I thought, well, anyway, they said, let's go out into the garden. I thought, oh, well, let's go in the garden. They said, I went into this garden, which was lovely. Oh, it was a real picture, this garden. There were beautiful trees, and there was a lovely lawn, with all lovely flowers, all in pretty nicely laid out beds, you know. And there was nice furniture there, you know, like, rustic seats and things and chairs. And, oh, dear, this was something, I tell you. I thought, well, I don't know. Anyway, the chatted and they explained things to me that I had come over to them and that there's no way about it. And they were talking 99 to Dutton, you know, about this, that, and the other. And I was asking about people, and they were saying, oh, yes, so and so is all very well and happy, and so and so will be coming to see you. And, oh, I was so intrigued with everything. And I said, well, what about them down there? So they said, oh, you don't worry about them. Mind you, I haven't got anyone very close to me, because most of my friends and people had gone over before me. That there were one or two people I was interested in. And they said, well, if you want to go back, just have a look and care. But we wouldn't advise you to go yet. Wait a while, wait till you're settled.
So I said, well, what you say is this thing. And then I was very curious by the way that was dressed. My wife, she had on a sort of, I suppose you'd call it a two-piece, a sort of lilac-colored dress for a skirt and a sort of little coaty thing, which it was, lace and white. And I got a sort of white lace. And I knew she's always handy with her needle. Used to make things. And I asked her, I said, that's a nice little outfit you've got. I said, you can make it. She said, oh yes. She said, I like to do little jobs like that and make clothes and deal with work. And I said, well, it's very nice, dear. And of course, I know this sounds silly, really, now I can't think about it. Of course, we had some good things to talk about. But I don't know, one seemed to talk about very ordinary things. And she looked so much younger, of course. Her hair was quite fair and long, but she got it all done beautifully. And sort of, I don't know how you'd explain it, but high up on the head looked very attractive. And she, her feet, she got very nice little neat shoes on. And I was curious. I said, well, as you go on about these things, and, I said, if you're all dead, do you have shops? Do you have factories and all this? So she laughed and she said, well, I don't know, we don't have shops, as you understand it, but everybody here, she says, has work to do, that interests in work they like to do. So she says, there are people who make shoes, and the people who supply the material for making dresses. And the person who likes to make a dress like I do can make it, and we can get all the other things that are necessary. But I said, does that mean, say then, that you have to have that? You must have the stuff. I said, then they say you will have to kill animals to get leather, and they have to grow stuff to make me different articles. So she said, oh no. She said, here is something which, although we create everything, we make everything, it's a matter of thought. She says, now, if I flip myself, I would like a nice dress. I think of the kind of material I would like, and I'm able to have that material, and I'm able to obtain it from an individual who, by his interest and his desire to serve and to help, can make that created. We don't grow things, and we don't necessarily make things in the same sense, she says, as the way you do up there. Yeah, but she said, these things could be created, and they can be brought into being. And she says, I know it sounds stupid, you might say to me, oh well, I can make myself a dress without even just by thinking about it, not having to get down to do it. But there'd be no money for that, there'd be no pressure for that. So we are able to use the articles, the things, and create and make things. But of course I believe that our people who can bring into being all sorts of things which they need or feel are necessary, not any effort whatsoever, but I wouldn't want to do that. She says, I prefer to have some effort about it. I don't want things just to be put into my head, she says, because I couldn't cop up to a lot of this at all at first.
Very interesting.
What are you doing with your stuff?
Well, at the moment, very much. You might say, perhaps I'm self-centered, I don't think I am, but I don't feel the urge or desire particularly to do anything. I seem quite happy to be able to completely relax. I love reading, and I'm able to borrow books, all kinds of books that I would have liked to have read, but never seem to have time for on earth. So I go to libraries, a wonderful building where I seem to have a book, I think the very consequences of them published. Anyway, I've been reading and studying a lot, learning a great deal, and I'm very fond of novels, good novels. I read all Dickens' work, and I think Dickens, oh, what a nice charming man he is. And in some strange way, I'm able to understand those novels and understand the people, the characters, and everything that he created. And as if I really don't, of course they're not real people, but because he puts so much into them, they have a sense of reality, and it's very interesting how if a person thinks and creates and recovers from deep within them that it's good, they are able to bring into life something which has a reality, and certainly, although these people, as you write about, are not individuals from the point of view of having souls, they certainly have a life, you might say, of a kind, and it's most intriguing and interesting to feel that you know these people. It's very interesting indeed, and I've met a lot of other people that I've read about and heard about, and marvelous music I've listened to. Oh, goodness me, I always used to want to be a musician, and I'm hoping that I may be able to take that up as an interest. I'd like to feel that I was creative and helpful in some way. I'd like very much to be a musician, because I'm living life now with my wife, and we're very happy, we have no children. But in a way, perhaps that doesn't really matter. I sometimes think it would have been nice to have children, but we didn't. My wife died many years before me. What was that? She was going to stay
married. As an individual god. There we go. Another god. Very big god.
Oh, a gorgeous gardens, great terraces, and oh, talk about some of these posh places you hear about on earth, like Versailles, and that sort of thing. We've got all that here. Sometimes we go out and we visit these great, what you call estates, I suppose, where there are beautiful buildings as well, but these are more like, I suppose you'd call them, kind of museum. It's as if they house all sorts of things which will bring back memories of past. It means that they're created to a great extent by the thoughts of many individuals who once had those places and had that interest. But on earth, it seems to me as if you might say over here, everything that is really worthwhile and everything that is beautiful, everything that has a meaning or a place on earth exists here in the replica. It's as if nothing of value, real value or worthwhile is lost. I've seen the most gorgeous paintings, oh, fantastic, beautiful works of art. And here that's everybody, everyone can share in them, everyone can appreciate them. I suppose in a way, I look at it now, I realize that I'm in a sort of state where I am content. And I'm not suggesting that one should be necessarily discontented, but I've been told, and I can quite understand, that I am in a state of being which suffices, which contents me, because of the great interest and the variation of things which seems inexhaustible, gives me the opportunity to learn and understand all sorts of things which frankly I never had on earth. Never had the background or the education or the money to do any of the things, but here I could do all those things and appreciate them and learn, and when I'm assimilated a great deal or all that I feel is necessary on my own particular place, sphere, whatever you like to call it, then I understand I may and probably will go further afield. But at the moment I have no desire for change. I'm perfectly happy. I don't see how anyone can want anything more than this. And yet I'm told that this is not necessarily a highly advanced state of being. But if this is, as I know it to be, a state which the average person comes to, and I can't imagine anything better, but I suppose what I've been told, it must be true, there are many stages of evolution which are far beyond this,
But I know one thing, this suits me, and if I were in any other environment, I'd feel uncomfortable, because I would know I wasn't ready for it. This is just right for me, my dear wife, and all the people I know, and I know it is a condition of life which the vast majority of people will come to. It's, I suppose, the normal condition of life for the average person. And that with all types of people, all nationalities, and the first thing that they seem to lose is empowerment. It seems as if that horrible feeling that people do have, even when there's no real need for it, will be tunnels to pass. Here there seems to be a generated force which comes from deep within everyone, a real love, real companionship, desire to be in harmony together. It's a real paradise. No one need worry or fear death. It's something we should all look forward to. It's a great adventure which, well, it's the most wonderful experience. No one can ever put it into words. I don't dare to think of myself, my life. It was pretty ordinary. Nothing out of the ordinary ever happened to me. I don't know that I particularly wanted it to. There were times when I thought I might have been to be able to travel and see places. Well, here you can see all that you've ever wanted to see, you might say. I don't say it's all necessary, but it's there if you want it. I think each man takes from his life here the things that they need to see for his joy and happiness, for his own personal life. I mean, I can see now how it's necessary to experience all manner of things and to appreciate them and learn from them all that they can give. No one need worry or fear. Life here is something to certainly look forward to. No one need fear dying. It's a great, wonderful adventure. I wish I could put into words all I'd like to say.
Have you seen a sea? Have you ever seen it or any sea?
No, I must admit I haven't seen any sea, but well, I should imagine it does exist.
Can you tell me, when you look across, say, a valley or a mountain, what is is it a sun ray? Is it kind of a sun ray? You understand you have rays there, not the sun. No, sir.
Right, all I can say is that there's illumination, which is very beautiful, but it's soft and mellow and so harsh and hard, and I understand it's not the sun's rays.
Oh no. And the colour's very beautiful, yeah?
They certainly are. I've seen colours here I've never seen on your side. Gorgeous, beautiful colours. And still.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I wish I could stay.
No, but that's very wonderful.
Time,
you have to do a lot of work.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, sir.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. I'm sorry. How can you take care?
You did well, Mickey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mickey. That was very nice of you, Mickey.